the blackboard. Really? I'll do my best, Hare Krishna. So, while we were waiting for the blackboard, this Martin Luther King Festival is it very nicely connects to our Hare Krishna movement for obvious reasons, which most of you know, that Martin Luther King is celebrated for being a freedom lover. So what movement better connects to that than the Hare Krishna movement? Martin Luther King is also celebrated for achieving freedom through nonviolence. He studied a political version of a nonviolent movement, and he introduced that in this country. And what better movement is connected to the concept of nonviolence to the soul than the Hare Krishna movement? The first step being, of course, just vegetarianism, but any violence to the soul means anything that keeps the soul from Krishna. So a very natural connection with this Karmi Day celebration and our movement. Hare Krishna. And after the festival, it's not a bad idea to preach and remind the people who have congregated there to celebrate what Martin Luther King stood for and explain to them what real nonviolence means and what being a freedom lover means. Hare Krishna. So, we are reading from Canto 6, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu. And the text is 28. So tomorrow for the blackboard, it'll be text 29. Okay, please repeat. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati swarga apavarga narakeshu api tulya arta darshinaha. Okay, we'll try this. One line at a time, we'll try. Please repeat. Narayana parak sarve. Narayana parak sarve. Nakutaschana bibhyati. Nakutaschana bibhyati. Swarga pavarga narakshesh. Swarga pavarga narakesh. Api tulyartha darshinaha. Api tulyartha darshinaha. Narayana parak sarve. Narayana parak sarve. Nakutaschana bibhyati. Nakutaschana bibhyati. Svarga pavarga narakesh. Svarga pavarga narakesh. Api tulyartha darshinaha. Api tulyartha darshinaha. Narayana parak sarve. Nakutaschana bibhyati. Swarga pavarga narakesh. api tulyartha darshinaha narayanak parak sarve nakutaschana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinaha narayanak parak sarve nakutaschana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinaha. Any ladies have a copy? Okay, if you, anyone? Narayana parak sarve nakutaschana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinaha. Okay. Narayana para. Pure devotees who are interested only in the service of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarve, all. Na, not. Kutaschana, anywhere. Bibhyati, are afraid. Swarga, in the higher planetary systems. Apavarga, in liberation. Narakeshu, and in hell. Api, even. Tulya, equal. Artha, value. Darshinaha, who see. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. I'll kindly repeat. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Purport. Parvati might naturally have inquired how devotees become so exalted. Therefore, this verse explains that they are Narayana para, simply dependent on Narayana. They do not mind reverses in life, because in the service of Narayana, they have learned to tolerate whatever hardships there may be. They do not care whether they are in heaven or in hell. This is very exalted. They simply engage in the service of the Lord. This is their excellence. Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam. They are liberally engaged in the service of the Lord, and therefore they are excellent. By using the word britya, brityanam, Lord Shiva pointed out that although Chitraketu provided one example of tolerance and excellence, all the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord as eternal servants are glorious. They have no eagerness to be happy by being placed in the heavenly planets or by becoming liberated or becoming one with Brahman, the supreme effulgence. These benefits do not appeal to their minds. They are simply interested in giving direct service to the Lord. Please forgive me, I forgot to chant, so we'll all chant this together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Om Namo Bhagavate. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Actually, I'm very astonished by this verse because often we think that devotees of Narayan is worshipped in every spiritual planet, Vaikuntha world. And we often think of the devotees of Lord Narayan as being engaged, of course, exclusively in devotional service. But they've achieved, as a result of their love of God, they've achieved liberation. There are four kinds of liberation that the devotees who reside in the Vaikuntha planets all have achieved. They have the same bodily form as the Lord himself. They reside on the same planet as the Lord himself. They enjoy opulences like the Lord himself. And they have the personal association of the Lord himself on Vaikuntha in the mood of Dasya Ras. The Lord accepts their loving service. So I'm surprised that this verse refers to the devotees of Lord Narayan not even caring about liberation. But they must have not cared in order to achieve Vaikuntha, but now they have that liberation. I say that because in other places, Prabhupada has written that the mood of Dasya Ras is the mood of religious systems throughout the universe. It's the primary mood of all religious systems. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Adi Purusha, as Krishna, enjoys mellows of devotion that are higher than Dasya Ras. But no one knows about such mellows of bhakti. No one. You read in the Bhagavatam outside of Krishna's appearance, or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, outside of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, no one knows about the Vatsalya Rasa or the Sakya Rasa. No one knows about the Madhurya Rasa, because that only exists in one place, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Loka. It does not exist. There are innumerable spiritual planets, Vaikuntha, and those mellows of devotion do not exist there. Between the living entities who are eternal associates of Krishna and Lord Narayan. It just does not exist, and it's not known. Because it is so rare, Krishna, we are taught that Krishna feels the need to appear in the material universe to display how he and his eternal associates enjoy these other rasas. There are innumerable, uncountable incarnations of Godhead in every yuga. There's Leela avatars, there's Shaktivesha avatars, there's Yuga avatars, there's Purushottamadika avatars, Manva avatars. There are as innumerable, the Bhagavatam says, as there are waves in an ocean. Krishna is forever reaching down in different ways through different incarnations to reclaim the fallen souls. But to reclaim them and at the same time show that there are these other rasas or mellows of bhakti is so rare. It's actually extraordinary. It's hardly known at any time in the universe. Hardly. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur composed a great work, and by astrological calculations, he determined, and Prabhupada quotes this in several places in his books, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur determined that Krishna in his original form, in which he descends with his associates from Goloka Vrindavan to display these other rasas that only exist in Goloka Vrindavan, that Krishna appears in this universe once in every day of Lord Brahma. It's not that Krishna appears in that way in every Kali Yuga, in every Dwarpara Yuga. It's in that way, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, with his eternal associates to display these other rasas, once in a day of Brahma. So, I was astonished when I read this. A kalpa, which is the time it takes for four yugas to transpire, is 4,320,000 years. And I always thought Krishna comes once every 320,000 years. How fortunate that I live within 5,000 years of that. But then I read, the Krishna that we read about in Krishna book, that Krishna doesn't come once every kalpa. He comes once every day of Brahma. It's almost like a schedule, Prabhupada wrote. In the time of the seventh manu, there are 14 manus in a day of Brahma. So within the seventh manu, midway, there's 14. And they're almost midway, because there's 71 kalpas within the life of a manu. So within the 28th kalpa of the seventh manu, in a day of Brahma, in that particular Dwarpara Yuga, once every 4,320,000,000 year, 4,320,000,000 such years, does the Krishna in our Krishna book come. How extraordinary. How rare. What we're doing in this age, that immediately came after that. How is it that we, the souls, are now living at this particular time in the history of this universe? This is extraordinary. But even though Krishna appeared, the Krishna book Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, somehow or other, when the Kali Yuga began, knowledge of what Krishna displayed became lost. It's amazing that it's so rare that Krishna will come just to show this, and yet so quickly it became covered and lost and forgotten. To such an extent that within four and a half thousand years, no one even knew where Krishna's pastimes had taken place. Even the place of his pastimes had been completely forgotten. So, an amazing thing happened as a result of it being that time where Krishna wanted to show his pastimes. Shortly after that, Krishna was thinking in a different way. And we have no idea of how to explain how things come up in the spiritual world, because there's no time in the spiritual world. Time is only in this material cosmos. It's not in the spiritual realm. So we can't quite understand it as if at one point Krishna wasn't feeling this, but at another point he started to feel it. It's not like the way we think of things happening in chronology or time. But as best it can be explained to our dull heads, after Krishna appeared to display his pastimes, he also had a great feeling or urge to understand something that, as Prabhupada writes, that as hard as he tried, he was not satisfied that he was understanding what it is that Srimati Radharani feels for him. How does she experience her love for him? When he exchanges loving pastimes with him, he feels conquered by her love. What is that love that conquers Krishna himself? There's a verse where Krishna says that Radharani, Radharani increases the pleasure of my enjoyment of rasa in an unlimited way, endless way, unlimited way. But her enjoyment of doing that is 10 million times greater than the pleasure that I feel. So, what is that that Radharani is feeling? So at some point, Krishna just wanted so much to know different things about Radharani's love that he concluded, there's only one way for me to ever know. I have to experience it as if I'm Radha. I have to appear in the mood, in the complexion, in the sentiment, and in the emotion of Radha herself, and act in loving service to me. So I have to be a different personality. I can't do this as Krishna, because I have to be doing it in the personality that will love Krishna. So somehow or other, Krishna was feeling this, and when we look at it, there's a way of looking at it in a chronology that this happened 500 years ago. And this only happens once in a day of Brahma. So out of 4,320,000,000 of years, the Lord appears in the mood of Radha and takes the form of Lord Chaitanya once out of billions and billions and billions of years. And here we are sitting now, and that happened 500 years ago. out of the billions of years it happened, we happen to be in that time where it happened 500 years ago. And it coincided with the time for a Yuga avatar to appear. Because there's always a Yuga avatar in every age. So Lord Chaitanya took up the mission of the Yuga avatar for the Kali Yuga to inaugurate the process of becoming a liberated Krishna conscious, a soul, to free the souls from this material existence. And the process in the Kali Yuga is the congregational chanting of the holy names. So Krishna himself came to experience Radha's love and at the same time to fulfill the mission of the Yuga avatar, which is normally fulfilled by an expansion or a plenary portion of Vishnu. I can't remember exactly which. In every other Kali Yuga, it's done in that way. Only in this Kali Yuga, it was done by Krishna, the original Krishna, from that Krishna himself. And we are here within 500 years of that event. And if you have any idea of how to think about time, that's enough to make your mind appreciate somehow the good fortune of just us being on this planet at this time in history. But it gets even better, because about 500 years later, that same Krishna sent back to this world as a Shaktivesh avatara, one of his greatest devotees, one of his eternal associates, to take up the Leela, the pastimes of that Lord Chaitanya, and to reinaugurate it in the form of the modern Hare Krishna movement, and to fulfill Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order that it be brought to every village and to every town in this world. And it's rare when Prabhupada ever writes in such a way that he reveals his divine position as one who descended to do this. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada writes that this modern Hare Krishna movement is non-different from the movement of Lord Chaitanya that was on this earth 500 years ago. The mission is the same. The work is the same. The potency is the same. And we have to take a minute to try to digest what this means. Because unlike any other Kali Yuga avatar, we're dealing with the original Krishna who has many reasons for his descent, but primarily his reasons involve wanting to taste the mellows of love in the Madhurya Rasa that is embodied and personified in its highest emblem as Srimati Radharani. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here 500 years ago, he accomplished all things when he spread the chanting of Hare Krishna. Not only did he liberate souls and teach them that this is the process of becoming liberated in this dark age, but he did something that no other Kali Yuga avatar ever did. In the course of doing that, he enabled souls to awaken to a type of mellow of bhakti that was unheard of practically at any time in the universe and only exists in Goloka Vrindavan. He imbued the chanting of Hare Krishna with that potency in this particular age to enable sincere practitioners to be invested with the potency of Srimati Radharani herself and be able to serve Krishna in certain mellows or moods of bhakti that are not even seen on the Vaikuntha planets. This is what happened 500 years ago. Extraordinary. Souls were not just awakened. They were awakened and brought to the plane of being able to exchange, have loving exchanges with Krishna in these higher rasas. Now, the soul is capable of experiencing eternal relationships with Krishna. But it's not possible for a soul to experience these higher rasas unless Krishna himself gives it to them. That's not possible. When we think of self-realization, we become finally aware of our eternal constitutional position as a soul. We'll feel, as we read, we'll feel some natural attraction to Krishna in some form. And if this wasn't this particular age, if this was any other age and we were on this path and then eventually became self-realized, that form probably would take the form of one of the innumerable forms of the Lord in the Vaikuntha world. And we would feel this divine, intrinsic, natural, constitutional love for Krishna in that way, in the Dasya Ras. But despite that, the soul is capable of also having exchanges with Krishna in higher rasas. Capable, it's possible, it's within the capacity of that marginal energy, but only, not by becoming self-realized on one's own, by that whatever process of religion exists in a particular age, only if Krishna himself places in that soul the ability to taste this higher rasa. There's no other way the soul can ever experience a higher rasa. Krishna himself has to give you the ability to taste it, and then it is possible. And that's what happened when Lord Chaitanya was here. When he spread the chanting of Hare Krishna, he was not only spreading the process of liberation, he was spreading what Prabhupada writes as called the, or teaches us to call, the Ladini potency of Srimati Radharani herself, by which the soul can love Krishna in the most intimate ways. So when Srila Prabhupada writes that this same movement that Lord Chaitanya inaugurated has reappeared in this modern Hare Krishna movement that we are now in today, that includes the potency of Srimati Radharani, Ladini Shakti potency, in this process that this modern Hare Krishna movement is spreading. Now, we may not have any realizations about this yet. We are, after all, when we read the descriptions of those who have actually awakened into this potency, we are neophyte devotees at best. Just give just one or two examples, we'll immediately see. I cannot notice, maybe once in a rare moment, I'll notice that I have an eyelid and it blinks. Normally, I'm not conscious of that. I see and it's unimpeded and so on. But the damsels of Brajabhumi, in their trance of seeing Krishna, they were talking amongst themselves and condemned Lord Brahma for being the most imperfect of creators, for having dared to create an eyelid. Because the movement of the eyelid interrupts their seeing Krishna. And in that interrupted time, of that span of time, they talked amongst themselves that it felt to them like an age had passed before the eyelid would reopen and they could see Krishna again. That is the Ladini potency. That's something so far beyond what we can imagine, but it's written for us to try to imagine. This is not something we can ever achieve by our own power. This is only achievable when it is given to the devotee. Now, why would it be given to the devotee? That is, again, inconceivable timing of our being in the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to give this Ladini potency. He came to give this out freely. So that those who receive it one day will experience such things. Where Srimati Radharani once, in experiencing the divine love of Krishna, and tears were coming from her eyes, she fought so hard and condemned the symptoms of that. When one is experiencing such love of God and the nectar is deeper than any ocean, and those tears are just a symptom of such nectar, and Srimati Radharani completely wanted it to go away. Wanted the nectar to go away because it was interfering with her seeing Krishna. She didn't want the nectar because it was affecting her love. I mean, this is a platform that we can only try to imagine. It can't be achieved, but it can be given to us. So now we come to, how is this going to be given to us? What is the method by which this is going to happen? Well, we have to become the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the true sense. We have to become the followers of Srila Prabhupada in the true sense. And when Prabhupada first introduced the chanting of Hare Krishna, he explained what it means to chant. My dear Lord Krishna, my dear Supreme Lord Ram, my dear energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. No one knew anything. And this was Prabhupada's explanation of the chanting of Hare Krishna. Please engage me in your service. We who are in this Hare Krishna movement and who have been students, we are fortunate because we can go beyond that simple definition of the chanting of Hare Krishna, my dear Lord and my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. What does that mean? What service? If you don't know, then of course you chant and Krishna, whatever service you want me to do. Whatever service you want me to do. And you can chant like that and pray like that. And you will feel, by your propensities, some attraction to some kind of service. According to your propensities, that you can do. But you could take a higher step. You could be taking the step of, well, I already know what service you want me to do. I don't have to say whatever you want me to do when I've already been told what you want. So then, when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, instead of just praying, please engage me in any service you want me to be in, well, I already know what that service is, so please engage me in that service. I could be thinking and praying in that way while I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Please use me. Please accept me. Somehow take me, use me in the service that you want, that you've asked for. So why should I just wait to see what my propensity is for service? That's all centered around me and my tastes and desires. But what about, that's not the way you're going to get infused with this Ladini Shakti. You have to go after what Krishna wants, not what you want, not what I want. It's not hard to know what Krishna wants. I'm going to read one grouping of verses from the 9th chapter of the Adi Lila. This is the thoughts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and these are the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling us what he wants. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus as they grow up, they spread all over this world. It's the tree of pure bhakti that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to this material cosmos, to this planet. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone. And still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. This is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, there are so many nice lectures, books, clinics about how to properly chant the Hare Krishna mantra. But if you're chanting and you already know, my dear Lord, please engage me in service. If you already know what service the Lord wants, and if you are therefore praying to be engaged in that service, then the result of your chanting, whether it be at one of these chanting clinics or in a temple, but the or your private japa every day, but the result of such chanting will be that you are developing such compassion and anxious desire to deliver the fallen souls. Because every day when you chant, you're praying to Krishna, please, I know this is what you want. Please engage me in that way. You can be very specific. And you can pray to be doing the service that Krishna is asking for. And if the devotees were praying like this, the results of these clinics would be that the souls would be bursting out on Sankirtan all over the planet. Because that's the result of praying to Krishna, please engage me in your service. If you combine it with, and I already know what service you want. So please engage me in that service. Now, someone may say, but it's not my propensity to go out and approach a fallen soul. It's hard. It's not my propensity. So you can think like that. But don't, nothing wrong. You can, nothing ever is wrong with serving Krishna according to your propensities. I don't want to be misunderstood. But I have to say, don't expect to experience these higher tastes if your basis for your service is what's my propensity. Instead of, what is it that Krishna wants the most? What is it that Srila Prabhupada wants the most? All right, I have to read one more. Lord Chaitanya is calling out in anxiety, how will these yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I do not see any way. And Haridas Thakur, the acharya for chanting. So if anyone wants to truly understand what you're about chanting, here's the acharya for chanting. Haridas Thakur replied, "My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the condition of the yavanas in this material existence." And Prabhupada explains in the purport, "These words of Haridas Thakur are just befitting a devotee who has dedicated his life and soul to the service of the Lord. The Lord is unhappy because of the condition of the fallen souls. And his devotee consoles the Lord by saying, 'My dear Lord, don't be anxiety. Everyone should adopt the cause of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and relieve him from the anxiety he feels by going out to the yavanas and trying to save them.'" The Lord, in the mood of Radharani, is feeling anxiety for these tortured souls. And beginning with Haridas Thakur, we can learn that our job is to try as best we can in our infinitesimal way to relieve, my God, the Lord's in anxiety? Let me do something to relieve that anxiety. Well, this is what you have to do to relieve the anxiety of the Supreme Lord. You have to go on Sankirtan and you have to approach conditioned souls. And you have to be praying the whole time, "Please send me another conditioned soul that will receive Krishna's mercy. Please let another soul come that I can try to approach and give them Krishna. Give them a book. Let them take Krishna. Let them be final. Let them meet Krishna. Let them actually meet Krishna in this way." Prabhupada said, "Please, regarding distribution of my books, please endeavor in this way. Regarding sales figures, this is the only solace in my life." Srila Prabhupada told us, in his life, this is the only solace he has, is when he hears that his books are being distributed profusely. So he begged us. He wrote, "I beg you, please endeavor in this way." There's a little anecdote. When that letter came out, and one devotee, you may know him, it's very funny, Sarvabhauma. At that time, he was with Triparari distributing with the BBT party in Chicago Airport. As soon as he read those words from Srila Prabhupada, that, "Please, I beg you, this is the only solace in my whole life, is to distribute these books." He took those words and he went to the airport. He stayed out until Mangalarti. He did not come back to eat. He did not come back to sleep. Those words were burning in his ears. And he stayed out till Mangalarti. And when he came back, he announced, "I distributed 138 big books." In those days, a minimum $5, $10 donation per book. Minimum. So if you do the math, it was almost $1,000. But he was just absorbed in wanting to relieve the anxiety of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada displayed that anxiety in the same mood that Lord Chaitanya displays anxiety, so that we could learn from it and try our best. Let's relieve Prabhupada of his anxiety. Let's pray to be the instruments for book distribution instead of just praying, "Dear Lord, please engage me." Try it. Try to think, "I already know what service Krishna wants the most. I already know what service Prabhupada wants the most. Why don't I pray for that? Whether it's my propensity or not, who cares? Let me be your puppet. Just engage me in that way. I have no ability to do it, and I don't like it, and it's hard, and who cares? Please, I'm offering myself. I'm offering my body, my mind, my words. I'm offering, please, let me be fixed in determination to try in this way, to be compassionate So that when I see a soul, I see it as if it's a family. That soul is a family member. Let me see every soul in a strange body as if it was as close to me as my brother or sister or mother or father. And let me feel so terrible that they are going to hell. Right in front of my eyes, they're walking past me. They're about to go to hell. They're marching to hell. And they're my intimate family member. Let me run up to them and find, please, Krishna, give me the words to get them to take a book. If we pray like that when we chant our rounds, then it will be just like it was when Srila Prabhupada was here. And hundreds of millions of books will be distributed. And that's what happened when Prabhupada was here, because that's how the devotees were praying when they chanted. I know that for a fact. That is how the greatest book distributors chanted their rounds. That's what they prayed for every single day, without fail. And the more they prayed like that and pushed themselves to go out, an amazing thing happened. Lord Chaitanya began to take over. And they, those devotees, and it happens today also, they became what's described as the storehouse of love of Godhead. Each book distributor was like a storehouse of love of God. And the more they distributed it, the more the storehouse filled up. This is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the nature of this storehouse of love of God. The more you distribute Krishna to others, the more you fill up with the taste of Krishna. The more you do this, the closer you get to being eligible to come to Krishna's attention to receive what Lord Chaitanya gave out freely, which is this Ladini potency, to experience these rasas. And we once discussed the Sankirtan movement, this process of going up to souls and trying to bring them to Krishna, as trying to make a tasteful arrangement to introduce a soul to Krishna's service. And we thought, well, that's what Radharani's function is. It is described in that Radharani is in charge of introducing souls to Krishna. So then this Sankirtan must be in the mood of the Madhurya Ras. It's in the mood of that Leela. And a devotee was very curious. They wrote to Prabhupada, is that true? And Prabhupada said, yes, that is the correct understanding of book distribution. That is the correct understanding. If you put yourself in that position by starting with your prayers and then your actions, and you go out and try to distribute books to these souls, you're putting yourself in that potency. You're making yourself eligible to experience what can only be given to you. You can't achieve it any other way. So more than liberation, we don't desire, oh, let me go back home, back to Godhead for myself. No, we desire this service. More than the desire to be with Krishna, look like Krishna, have opulence of Krishna, we just desire, let me just serve Krishna. Let me just serve. If we can cultivate that mood, try to remember the words of Prahlad Maharaj, who said, I don't want to go back home until everyone else is already liberated. I can't leave them behind. The mood of a real pure devotee. That's what we should be praying for if we want to taste these higher, if we want to enter into the real Leela of this Hare Krishna movement. So does anyone have any questions? I know time is up, but yes, Archita Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Since the verse is mentioning Narayana Parak.
I'm sorry?
Since the verse mentions Narayana Parak Sarva.
Yes.
And you started out by talking about the devotees of Lord Narayana and their position. It would seem technically that they're being cheated if the only way to taste the higher rasas, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, if the only way to taste this is to have Krishna give it to you directly, it would seem then that the devotees who are in Vaikuntha are being cheated by Krishna. Why, if he's extremely merciful, why would he allow them to just stay on that dasya platform? Why not give them? And it's then the only way that they can achieve it is to come back to the material world and engage in the Sankirtan movement, and then they can get it to go back to Goloka or what?
Fortunately, Prabhupada has actually spoken about this. Prabhupada said that for a devotee who has realized his eternal and constitutional loving service to Krishna in his own constitutional position, to him, he is more attracted to that. Even if you showed him something else, he wouldn't even be attracted to it. The pleasure is so great, and it's a material idea if we're trying to compare. Well, their pleasure in Goloka is higher than the pleasure of Vaikuntha. Don't ever think like that, please. Because we can't even imagine these pleasures. Because who can understand the pleasure, first of all, that's endless? And second of all, not only is it endless, but it's always expanding. Can anyone imagine such a thing? But every soul in Vaikuntha is experiencing that at every moment. It's so far beyond our minds to grasp that level of happiness. Endless. There's no cessation. It doesn't stop for a blink of nothing. But it, at every moment, even though there's no time, it keeps expanding and increasing and becoming more intense. So please don't feel sorry for the eternal associates of Krishna in Vaikuntha. They feel sorry for us. Hare Krishna. Oh, okay.
No, I think we have to wrap it up now.
Okay.
So just a quick announcement that we're going to be serving prasadam right now. And directly afterwards, we want all the devotees out in front assembled, and we're going to try and get vehicles to leave out of here at 9:30. So we have approximately 40 minutes. So we have to leave. Hare Krishna.